Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. I am the wizard Cronox, Observer of Time. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as the Orc Countant Eta and Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure, including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown!
The Triton Sorceress spreads wide her hands, lightning crackling around them, and with a dramatic arc, brings them together repeatedly in applause for your efforts. Aloud, she says, which you hear echoing in your heads, not as clearly as Gwendolyn's speech is, but that you clearly hear in your head says,
"Oh, well done. Well done. Wow, that thing's been giving us quite a bit of difficulty. I suppose the answer was actually stabbing the whole time. Wow, we've been trying many different things, but apparently none of them were as effective as stabbing. Stabbing was the answer. good to know. Good to know. You have my thanks, strangers. Although I do see one of the consortium of Bleen with you, which is not particularly to our taste. So I will allow the two of you a safe passage, but I do wonder... Tortle, why do you come down here into the realm, into the domain of the Mantarans?
Can I tell if she's speaking Aquan right now?
She is.
I can speak Aquan. Am I capable of communicating the same way, or am I limited by like my physicality?
No, you can absolutely speak Aquan. The way I like to imagine Aquan is that it's like a series of, like, she's obviously using magic to allow everyone to understand what's being spoken. But I got to assume if you're speaking underwater all the time, it would have to be kind of like either whales communicating or anything else, where it's just like you're able to interpret what like blah, 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 through the water mm-hmm. means.
Okay.
So yes, absolutely. You can speak back to her in her own language.
Duncan off to the side is like, why was I diplomatically necessary? I can't talk here. bubbles, bubbles, bubbles. It's a foreign language and everyone's psychic. This
is not helpful. I speak common and elvish and some gnomish.
Admittedly, you do miraculously have court knowledge of Bleen. So like, you've been doing just fine. I don't think you need to like push your luck on this one. It's been a good run for secret Gwendolyn powers. Jesus Christ. I hesitate to even say this, but Ambassador Maka, what do you say?
I introduce myself. I say, I am Maka Dithkep. And these are my companions, Duncan Kindano and Princess Gwendolyn. We have come to mend the divide between the Triton and the Tortle. We come to reconnect Bleen to the archives.
And she just sucks water through her teeth in what would on land be like a... and just says, your command of our languages is very good, very admirable. But I do regret to inform you that I think you'll be somewhat disappointed if your goal is to reconnect the Tritons and the people of Mantara with your consortium. After all, your people have been dumping their poisoned spore cultures into our waters for quite some time, leading many of the creatures down here to become like the monster you just destroyed. That crocodile used to tell time impeccably well for all of us. But it had become something truly horrific. Again, apparently vulnerable to stabbing. So good to know. But
before perishing, I spoke with the crocodile. It was beyond reasoning. It was...
Oh, yes. No, you should have killed it. That's 100% the right call. We're just mostly concerned that your people kind of dumped toxic garbage on us for a long time and have converted many of it. Many of our Tritons have gone completely feral. They have succumbed to the very same illness that that poor time-telling crocodile fell to. It is... Your people have brought a plague down upon our society. Mm. Not cool, dude.
They too are plagued. I mean, seeking to heal this plague, to eliminate it.
And with the information in your, as I understand it, box of receipts help with that?
Any and all information is useful. Particularly in...
Sorry, I'm trying to think of the phrasing that Maka would use.
Particularly certain documentation regarding my role in this. My people have seen fit to blame me for the plague that has befallen them. Though I know not who they would blame for dumping into your home.
I mean, probably you as well, if they're blaming people. I mean, that just seems like what they're doing. Are you responsible for this?
No. No, my investigation is ongoing, but it would seem that there was a sickness, a curse, blighting this land before me.
And she kind of nods and says, our people had noticed that as well. Many of the... medicinal products we traded for with the consortium were losing their potency. They're for a time they were providing us with wonderful cures. Many of our people are alive today because of them, but slowly that seems to have dwindled. Yes, this all makes sense.
Maka Deathcap, I believe you said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fine. We shall make a one-time exception and allow safe travel, given that you've dealt with our time croc problem. Please, if you and your friends would be so kind as to follow me. I am of Adriel, by the way, of the Mantarans. It is a pleasure to meet you. Right this way. And she kind of waves to her people. You were attacked twice on your way to the archive, as Adriel had indicated. There are feral Tritons now who, I think in modern terms, you'd consider almost rabid, who attempt to attack. But the non-feral Mantarans who are part of Adriel's honor guard dispatch them relatively quickly. After a bit of a trek, you arrive at the Sunken Archive. God help me, but it's a good metaphor for it. Very much a Gungan situation going on down here, where it's kind of a massive dome of sort of underwater civilization. Once you sort of pass through, it doesn't have like, you know, force field, because that's not really a thing in this world, but you sort of pass through a small chamber that empties out, just sort of forces the water out. The Tritons are... It's best to think of them kind of as the inverse of turtles in this regard, where turtles are comfortable underwater, but ultimately need to breathe topside. The Tritons can breathe air. It's just not as comfortable for them as underwater. So this is very much a turtle structure. You recognize that upon arrival. That said, the glass nature is much more a Triton influence than a turtle. It seems that the Tritons were instrumental in building this, which would make sense given that it's at the bottom of the ocean. Once you are kind of decontaminated, you walk in and Adriel, whose hair now looks considerably less dope, out here she just kind of looks a bit like Samara from The Ring, because the hair only really works in the water. She turns to you, Duncan, and says in a much more kind of, for lack of a better term, like fishy voice. She's clearly like speaking through gills, just kind of like,
due to the nature of our physiology, we're unable to properly introduce yourself out there, I'm afraid. I think you might have more information than, well, we got out there. I apologize. What is your name again?
I am Duncan Quintano.
Speaking through your gills?
Captain of the Dawnbreakers. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And she kind of chuckles and she says,
I understand that you can speak through your vocal cords. You can talk normally if you'd like, but I appreciate the consideration.
Well, all right then. I'm Duncan Quintano, first captain of the Dawnbreakers.
And she kind of nods. Basically, you can tell she was just trying to leave room for you to understand that you can communicate with them now. She feels, you can see there's a bit of a sense of embarrassment that there was a one-way communication out in the waters. And she's clearly putting in the effort by speaking common, despite how tremendously bad she is at it. Knowing now that you can fully communicate, you have a bit more of your diplomatic capability back at hand. She will continue to speak Aqualish to Maka, though.
Are there any other major dangers along the lines of this crocodile that face your people that we could perhaps free you from?
She explains that there are many. A number of creatures that serve various almost Flintstone-esque functions down here have been infected and have changed and mutated. She indicates as well that it's not merely... And you saw this with the Tritons, who had more spines kind of sticking out of their arms and more prominent gills. The tainted spores seem to actually be mutating things down here. So it's not just a matter of a curable infection. It's that their fundamental nature is being shifted. Tyler brought this up like last episode or a couple episodes ago, but the Cordyceps situation is very much in play here. Rather than fully killing it, it's just like it kind of corrupts the brain to a point where it's just a weird fungus suit. Yes, there are a number of things that plague them. The Tritons themselves, as you've seen, are very capable warriors. The water is their domain. But they seem to be essentially faced with the same dilemma as the Tortles. The main difference being they are acknowledging it as the single biggest threat to their civilization and something that must be solved, as opposed to an inconvenience that makes them sniffly and prevents them from shipping boxes on time. So unfolding this, she like thanks you for your concern, but is essentially
finding a cure to all of this. As indeed it would seem you're trying to do, friend Tortle, would be ideal for solving most of the mutation issues we're seeing. So that, really, the thing you're doing is the thing that would help us the most.
Understood, and I appreciate the challenges your people are facing. We'll do our best to solve this problem.
And I'd just like to say that regardless... you know, of how things go, there's like a lot of danger in the world and a lot of like evil stuff going down. And I'd really like our people to be allies.
She kind of looks at you in a new light. Gwendolyn, I think you still haven't necessarily fully clocked the fact that since you show up in armor all the time now, people just assume you're hired muscle.
Right.
But she kind of nods and says,
"The Mantarans are like our civilization is certainly very reasonable and would like to pursue this further. But I will need to speak more broadly to the other Triton communities. You understand, it's a bit of a process. But the Alliance of Deep Ones may indeed be interested in allying with you if indeed you can offer more than the consortium did." Tell me, what do you value most?
We value equality among all peoples.
To what purpose?
So that everybody's lives and well-being can be elevated.
Ah, you see that? That I like.
And in Aqua, she turns to you, Mark, and she just says, "You've brought us such interesting people, friend Tortle. I do appreciate this. Thank you." She kind of nods, I think, to Gwendolyn and kind of like eyes your hands, and not being entirely used to physiology, she still kind of could tell that you probably can't write. So she turns to Duncan and she says,
you seem to mention out there in the water that you are worried your diplomatic abilities would be wasted here. We could use some paperwork for this, if you would be so kind. We will convey it to the other nations.
Excellent. I'll happily write up whatever you need.
Ah, excellent. You are all truly welcome as friends of the Mantarans.
Having won them over, you have free reign of the archive. So essentially, for the interest of sort of time and scope, this isn't like a, and then they spent a day at the library, simply because you've got other shit to do. And as Murdoch warned you, only having two of these jurors on side is not nearly enough. Also, Wajdi doesn't exactly seem like he's entirely on the level, and the odds of him flipping if there is profit involved are tremendously high. Of course, Duncan would know that odds of him getting stabbed in the face if he does so are also tremendously high. But, you know, greed gonna greed. So I guess my question to you is, you have access to the archive. You'll be able to reconnect it to Bleen, at least in a temporary way, because they weirdly, if it will serve Maka and the Alliance of Equals, they'll open it up. But not if it serves Bleen. Like, it's fine if it's a means to an end. They also, like, it's clear this has been kind of a petty thing. Like, again, they're just keeping their receipts away from people. Like, there's no huge tactical advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be willing to kind of open it back up if it's of use to you. In terms of your time in the Sunken Archive, obviously you're going to look for information that exonerates Maka. I'm going to say you can do a total of three things while you're down here. That's going to be one of them. What other two things would you like to do? You're shown to kind of like a like really do think of this as like a, just a well-designed library. So you're kind of taken to a one of those little study tables that are found in all good libraries. The Mantarans give you some space. Adriel leaves a scout who has done, like, they're clearly like a warrior, like they're you know, armed up with gear. Which indicates that the scout was one of a few who secured the library back when the archive back when they first seized control of it. So it has the most knowledge. They're not a librarian by any stretch, but they can kind of like point you in the right direction better than just wandering around. But fully respecting that you're here with a purpose, and also fully understanding that this is not really a concern of the Mantarans. They don't own this place. They're leaving you kind of to your business and giving you the space you need to accomplish your goals. What do you do?
Gwendolyn Duncan, your knowledge of hierarchies and court may be instrumental. You see, there is a record of Umos issuing a request that I come to your court in Orville. So too, there may be a record of who ordered the dumping of these tainted spores and who ordered the production of tainted spores. Would this be helpful, knowing who and when certain things were done in this consortium?
I mean, most importantly would be where. Where is the source of these spores? Where did they originate from?
Mm-hmm.
That is a big question. If they are, for lack of a better term, but creature made, though you've said little about the source in regards to Jassy. Are they from Jassy and the cluster?
It is less clear now than it was to me before. There does indeed appear to be some kind of connection to Jassy, although all I detect when I commune with Jassy is pain, most troubling.
All right, so we can look for a trail on the spores. We can look for the information that will free Maka. And perhaps something we could look for on Ita's behalf is any sort of history of trade between Bleen and the Empire of Numbers and Sprongbrek. And if there are any other major trade things going on around those times, because we may be able to have her spot a pattern there that will support what she's learned from the Sprongbrekian records.
I am not certain that Murdoch Truegood is aware that exonerating me may not be enough. Removing one scapegoat and not replacing it with one for the blame to fall on may well result in Murdoch and I being assassinated anyway. The Tortles need to place the blame for this on someone. They need a culprit. They have chosen me.
They may only need that if we can't find a way to cure the actual problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then yes, they'll just name a hero who did it.
I would like to research, if I may, on this sickness and see if there is any documentation of it here.
Okay, so to recap for me, because I was checking some notes on some important things, we're looking for the Umos dossier that will clear
Maka. Yeah, Maka. That's priority one.
Yeah, Maka is looking into the sickness in general, yeah. And I'm sorry, the third one was trade records.
I think that kind of folds into the sickness research.
I think there's like trade record conspiracy, there's sickness research within town or other areas, and then there's Doc that frees Maka. I think those are our three.
Oh, right. The trade record research. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
Yep.
No, cool. No, it's good.
All right. How would you like to go about basically who's on what? I know, given that, sorry, go ahead, Laura.
I just think that Gwendolyn would probably be best suited to anything involving Orville. She'll be able to spot stuff. So I
though
think
you know the Bleen, though you know the Bleen court the best. So if you were to free,
well, if I know what the
oh
best,
that that'd be but... it. That's the Maka yeah. thing. Yeah,
yeah. So Gwen yeah, will so be on Maka on the yeah. Umos dossier.
Maka will be on the disease because why yes. the fuck would we put me on the disease?
it's just we pan across to Duncan taking down like introduction to virology and being like, ugh, chapter one.
Well, it turns out if you bathe, that makes you sick.
That would explain the smell in sour.
So okay. He's on conspiracy
watch.
How do you
spell sour?
It is spelled S-A-W-E-R.
Thank you. I keep thinking about it. And
yeah. Also, based on the way I've been pronouncing it, I'm sure you've been like, it's not S-O-U-R, but it's close.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't that, but I'm like, is it S-A-U-R?
I had a whole debate with myself about the naming convention on this.
It's great.
But where else are a bunch of bipedal turtles going to live, if not the sour? Mm-hmm. So in terms of research, I think, Gwendolyn, you can go ahead. I think we'll probably call this investigation would make the most sense.
Yeah.
I think it is bleeding court business. So you can roll twice, pick the best.
Nice.
Advantage, as the kids would call it. Maka, I'm going to take a medicine check from you.
Yeah, I'm going to cast guidance on myself.
Sure. I'll also give you advantage because you're looking for answers in a place where actually there's a lot of information available to you. So this is a much better situation than you've had. Duncan, you're looking for conspiracy stuff and trade information. I think this will also be investigation. I'm not going to give you an advantage only because it's a much broader topic to be investigating, and I think it's a little bit harder.
Could I pitch treating this as like he's putting documents in a bag for Ida, so it might be more insight in terms of this looks like it could be useful? Yep. Yeah, because he is not
an investigator. No, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah, it's just like looking at the spines of books being like, maybe.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So go ahead and make your rolls, please.
I have my results for you.
Great.
I rolled a natural 20 plus my 8 medicine plus 1 on my guidance. So 29.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into a world of darkness and vampires with Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast featuring Ryan LaPlante as the gangster Ridley Beef, Tyler Hewitt as the conflicted detective Everett Fry, and Megan Miles as the poet Iris Dunn, with storyteller Tom McGee. Join these newly turned vampires as they try to take control of Montreal, but all is not as it seems, and as their humanity slowly slips away, they are forced into increasingly dangerous situations as the streets of the city run red with blood and sticky with syrup. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here. New episodes available weekly. Ha, ha, ha.
Cool. Good to know. I'll take it under advisement.
Okay, great.
I got 15. I mean, it's not...
Mm-hmm. It's not 29.
It's not 29.
Really, what is?
I got 12. He's throwing shit in a bag. He doesn't know if it's good.
Fair enough. yeah, we're gonna stay with that for Duncan for reals. Gwendolyn, you are able to kind of, as soon as you find the right section and start like identifying documents that are clearly bureaucratic and vaguely royal, you're very easily able to track down the information. Now, the Maka is, as we've established, was a bit of an outcast, a bit of an oddity. So the paperwork looks like it'll be enough to satisfy Phaedron, but likely not enough. Like, this isn't ironclad, like, there is a plague here. The curse is upon us. We will go get Maka, and he will help us solve it. It is indicated that Umos went in search of Maka to assist with a dilemma of great concern to Bleen, and that the only proposed solution was to travel to Orvel. So based on your result, again, not ironclad proof, but probably enough to sway.
I think it will be like, basically she'll go back, and it'll be one of those things like, I'm like, okay, like if any of the other documentation, like, the disease is referred to using the same words, then that will help. So I'm like, I can tell Ida to look for that.
Yeah, totally. The other piece you do get, Gwendolyn, from yours is there is some concern that the affliction, they're not calling it a curse in any of the documents because that would be silly. There is some concern that the production of Endara might be related to the sickness afflicting the people of Bleen, that there has been ever since basically ever since the supply line opened up and processing and production of raw glomera into Endara began, there have been some negative effects observed. But of course, there's likely another cause. Like, it's definitely not, it's not the Endara. It could be, but like, maybe it's single-use straws. That's probably the real issue.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But it's enough to kind of like, you get the exoneration piece, but you also get just a little bit more in terms of things that might be able to fit into other stuff.
Cool.
Duncan, yeah, there's some books that might be helpful. You're grabbing them. Good news is there's a lot to pick from. The paper trail is rather extensive, so you're just kind of grabbing anything you think might be of use.
It's an Ida problem. I literally won't 100% know if it's good or not. Yep. Yeah, I just have a bag full of fucking books.
Yep. And Duncan, I'm going to give you 1 point of advantage, or a sort of inspiration, rather. It's nice to be doing your job again. Like, you've been doing the grand ideals of what a Dawnbreaker should be for a while, but there's just a simple joy in just, like, this was the kind of shit that the Dawnbreakers used to assign to you all the time. It's just nice going through the motions again, you know?
Nice. Is it possible to have two inspiration?
Yes. I don't stand by that you can only have one banked, because rule of cool, baby.
Yeah.
I have two inspiration.
Yes. Rules as written, you can only have one, but
I won't use them cheaply. So
I'm aware. Also, I am no Phaedra and Cohenstove. Huh?
So that's how we got to having two, is he won't use them
exactly
cheaply.
Yeah. You proved you earned the trust, and that's why I'm not going to put any parental guides on your internet access. Big mistake. Big mistake.
Porn hut. Yeah. So hard.
Maka, you rolled a crit on a roll to investigate the thing that has been plaguing you both metaphorically and physically since the adventure began. Mm-hmm. So I am very happy to report that... finally, with sort of the collective knowledge of the Consortium of Bleen at your fingertips, as well as your actual legitimate intimate understanding of the cluster and of Jossi, you're finally able to start getting some answers. The first of which is that, as you've seen evidence of elsewhere, a decision was made long ago that the gifts you were bringing to help the people of Bleen were being processed into a new material. Endara, the base element from which Sundara and a variety of other things were created. And as you begin to look through the books, your eyes slowly widen as you realize that the sickness inflicting Jossi and the cluster is the slow leeching death of key elements of the Biolium cluster into Endara. And as you discovered cruelly for the first time back in the Kingdom of the Root Folk, the work you did and the lives you attempted to save were a fiction. You were in fact producing the base element that the Consortium of Bleen needed to make a profit.
This episode of Curse Code and Crowd Sound was mixed and edited by Laura Hamstra, and the campaign was created by Tom McGee. Our original theme music was composed by Landon Noblock, and Curse Code and Crowd's logo was created by the brilliant Decapitated Markers. If you want to follow our players or our DM on Twitter, you can reach out to Laura at EL Hamstring, Ryan at the Ryan LaPlante, Tyler at Tyler_Hewitt, Tom McGee at McGeeTD, or you can message our whole company at DumDumDice. So please, join us again for more Curse, Code, and Crown!
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Great Dane, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.